We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Title is God's Wisdom. What we're going to see today, that by and through, I'm not coming out. That just must be me. Are you sure, Annette? Because I've got a green arrow or a green light here. Test. Okay, there we go. That by and through the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God is revealed to us. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that this can happen. Paul, God revealed this wisdom to Paul, the apostle here, and to the other apostles. And this wisdom would be for and understood by all believers. And that's what's important. God's wisdom. I want to know if... do we seek God's wisdom? Do we really? Or do we seek the wisdom of the world? This is each person has to check themselves. Because I can't speak for anybody except myself. And I wonder how many people speak or think about what the world's wisdom is. And instead of what God's wisdom. By studying the Word of God, continuing to seek the Lord, the Holy Spirit will help us grow in that wisdom of God. If you want to grow in God, seek Him. Study His Word. Read His Word. Spend time with God. And this message today is about God's wisdom. God's wisdom. The world's wisdom, we're going to see, is nothing. So let's read today's verses. We're starting in verse 6, going through 9. Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom. Although it is not wisdom of this age, this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared those who love Him. As we look at this, and I hope that every one of us checks ourselves on this. The opening of this section says, yet among the mature. Who's the mature? Now, I'll give you a real good clue. There are people, early 20s, late teens, early 30s, very mature, spiritually mature. There are people 50, 60, and 70s that are infants. And this is what we're talking about. The wisdom of the world would say, well, you're old, you're mature. Mature in Christ is growing in Christ. Growing in Him. The word there, mature, in the actual Greek, means finished or complete. Finished or complete. This is talking about a higher wisdom. Godly wisdom. This is referring to spiritual maturity. A person that is seeking, longing, reaching for God continuously. Focusing their life and their everything on the wisdom of God. Hopefully as we grow in that, that's what we're doing the majority of our time. Is seeking that and growing that. The mature, spiritually mature, seek the wisdom of God over the wisdom of the world. The world will say, you need to do this, this, this. And so many times God has told me, no, I want you to do this, this, and this. And I'll go, all right. And you know what? You may not totally understand. It may be years later. And you go, oh, I see what you're doing, God. The mature seek to walk. but spiritually mature. Seek to walk and to live, to rely on God's wisdom above everything else. Look at for me Ephesians 4, verses 13 and 14. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. This is for the spiritually mature. Why? Because guess what, folks? We're going to have hard times here. We're going to have trials here. Is it going to knock you down and walk away from God? Hopefully not. Spiritually mature goes, hey, I got this. It says that we're no longer children. Carried about by winds of doctrine here. We understand as we read and study the scripture, when somebody starts to speak something that is contrary, instantly that flag goes up and says, no way, that's wrong. The second half of this verse, though, is what is contrary to God's wisdom. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Okay, that's us, good. Although it's not wisdom of the age or rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. Oh, wait a minute. It's contrary to the wisdom of God when they start to say, well, wait a minute, this is the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom contradicts godly wisdom. It always has. And what is the world's wisdom? Their ultimate wisdom of the world is one thing. That the cross of Christ is foolishness. If you were to go back to chapter 1, looking at verses 21 through 23. It's folly. It's foolishness. According to the world's wisdom. According to the world's wisdom, the cross of Christ is foolishness. Chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. We went over that. And it says here that the rulers of this age. Who are these rulers? Well, they're scientists, philosophers, educators, judges, on and on and on. I've said this many times. I'll watch Discovery Channel or something because it'll be something on a religious thing and I'll watch it just to watch. And I'll think, oh my gosh, this person, they're calling this person, that person, experts, and I'm going, have you ever read the Bible? Because they have no clue. No clue at all. And think about the world's wisdom. What did their whole wisdom come to? Crucifying the Lord of glory. Crucifying Christ. That was their wisdom. It's the same today, folks. These people are trying to find the true meaning of life. In all sorts of avenues. We're here to worship God. Praise God and have fellowship with God. We're not here to see how much money we can make. What we can possess. How many places we can conquer. We're here to worship God. And to praise Him. And to have that fellowship with God. God created us for that fellowship with Him. And this is important. And think about this. When you wonder about the world's wisdom, what does this verse tell us about the world's wisdom? Who are doomed to pass away. All their wisdom. Think about the wisdom of today. Right now, in this time period that we're in, 2025. The wisdom. Go back 25 or 50 years. We didn't even know what was going to be happening now, and the different wisdom that was thought processing. Or 100 years ago, the wisdom of those people. How do you make money? How do you live? How do you work? Jobs. Oh, I want to get schooled in this because, well, a lot of those jobs don't even exist. The milkman. There's no such thing. The typewriter. That was state of the art, right? That's wisdom. This one. No. That's what it's talking about. The everything in the world's wisdom is futility. It passes away. It's doomed to pass. Scripture's standing here telling us this. Their wisdom also, these people say there is no God. Evolution. We all evolved, right? No, no, no. And I've sat back and listened to this. Oh, this was created 100 billion years ago. Really? How do you know that? Time frame. And you take evolution, you know, and I crack up. Please don't answer this question. I'm going to tell you the answer. When I think about evolution, a lot of times a common question comes up. And all how man has evolved. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, I'm going to enlighten you. The chicken did. Because in Genesis, God created all the birds of the air and told them to multiply. Duh! If we read the scriptures, it's very clear. God tells us these answers. He created everything. Nothing evolved. He created it. They're always coming up with a new species they found in the ocean at depths. Oh, it must have evolved for it. No, it wasn't. You just hadn't seen it. Common sense. They always, have you ever heard of that? Well, that's a coincidence. Nothing's a coincidence with God. Everything happens for a reason. And God's in control, and He's in power of that. There is no coincidence that things occur. God's got it. It didn't happen by chance. Or they distort who God is to fit their own thinking. They do that. And not the truth of God. Their own thinking. Huh. You may have even said, heard this. If there really is a God, well, how come He'd allow all these bad things to happen? Sin entered the world. Scripture says the god of the air, Satan, is running things. But Jesus said, I overcame the world. I overcame the world. We know that. Like in the battles and the things, the battles happen. The war is won by Christ, Him crucified. The wisdom of this age passes away quickly. Very quickly. It's like you'd say the wind. It, you know how it's here today or and gone? Or here, it's here, and then we get a day of gone. But really, it's that quick. The brilliant people are here and gone. And you think about that. If we live to be 100 years old, folks, that would be a long time according to the wisdom of the world, right? That's not even a blink compared to eternity. That's their wisdom. Then we have God's wisdom. The world's wisdom is as nothing. It fades completely away and it exists no more. Look at Colossians 2:8 for me, please. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. That spells it out about as clearly as you can get it. Don't be captive by all these things that the world are saying. Stand on the word of Christ. And how do we stand on the word of Christ? We have to know the word of Christ. You have to know it. And then Paul says something that I think is fantastic. In verse 7, he says, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. Some interesting words there, how he uses it. He's talking about this secret, hidden wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God Himself. And God planned everything before He ever created it. He laid it out. He knew what was going to happen. You know, you look at the time frame, time creation, and say the end, and say we're wherever we're at in here. I don't know. God's up here. He knows the whole ball game. We get tunnel vision. We only know what we can see right now. And I think about that so much as I used to, because I was, when I worked construction, I was a general foreman, so I was over foremen who were over the men. And I go, I don't understand. I says, well, you know what? You see this much, I'm seeing this much, my boss is seeing this much. Because of this. And I think that's important. The wisdom here that God is talking about, this secret hidden wisdom, why is it secret and why is it hidden? Is cannot be made known by man's natural reason. Wait a minute. Some guy died on a cross, and that's the only way I get to live to eternity? Yep. No, it doesn't make any sense. That's facts. And I want you to understand, in other words, man cannot obtain God's wisdom on his own self. The Holy Spirit has to reveal it to us. God has to reveal it to us. I remember when the light bulb clicked on me. Click. Oh. Wow. I got it. I understand. God has to reveal this wisdom to man. This is the secret hidden wisdom. God himself. He has to reveal it to man. The whole plan originated in God's mind. It is so far beyond us. And actually, partially revealed it in the Old Testament. You see it. The Old Testament's like a big old arrow pointing to a Savior. You need a Savior. The New Testament is the Savior's here, Jesus Christ. That's it. This is why even in teaching, I'll teach for every one book in the Old Testament, I'll teach 4, 5, 6 in the New. Because the New Testament has the whole complete package. The Old Testament, they were looking for the Messiah. Read David's Psalms and so many of these. They're looking for that Savior. They're looking for it. New Testament, he's here. Glory. Glory. And then Paul, the way he said this, we impart the secret hid wisdom of God, which we is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he says, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Ours. Our glory. Think about that a minute. The hidden wisdom in God's plan for redemption is revealed to the believers. Got it. Got it, Lord. I can have eternal life through my Savior, Jesus Christ. They have revealed, God has revealed his Son. God has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. I got it, Lord. And that final glory that we're going to share with Christ. I want us to understand it. Share with Christ. Look at Romans 8, verses 17 and 18 for me. And if children, are you a child of God?
Yes.
Okay. Then heirs. Guess what? You're an heir. Heirs of God. Pretty cool. And what's it say? Fellow heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ gets, folks, you get. Co-heirs, fellow heirs. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. God is going to glorify us. That makes beyond my comprehension. God is to be glorified. He's going to glorify us. Remember, he's going to give us a crown of glory. Folks, I'm telling you, this is amazing stuff. For Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, pay attention here, for I consider the sufferings of this present time, and I'm going to stop because Paul was whipped, I don't know how many times, beaten, I don't know how many times, stoned, I don't know how many times, shipwrecked, I don't know how many times, it's written down. And Paul is saying, I consider those sufferings of this present time not even worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed with us. Have you had a hard week? Guess what? It don't compare to the glory that you're going to receive. If you've had a tough times, maybe your bills can't get paid. Maybe your health is in trouble. Maybe a relationship is in trouble. It doesn't compare to the glory that is going to be revealed to you. Now, Paul has said this. He lived like a nomad. He didn't have a house and a car. Well, you think, oh, my car broke down. I got to fix this. Guess what? He didn't even have a car. They walked. Well, you know, I got to do this in my house. He didn't have a house, just like Jesus. They walked. They slept wherever. And Paul's been whipped, beaten. Why? He did it because he proclaimed the truth. And he says, it doesn't even compare to the glory. God gave him that special wisdom, and he's relating it to us. Folks, he said, pay attention, folks. Yeah, you may have had a tough week or a tough month or it's been a hard year. It ain't going to compare to the glory. It will not even be a blemish. You will look back and not even... That's what Paul's trying to tell us here. The wisdom of God is the gospel, the good news. Jesus Christ died for us. He was crucified for us. It is God reconciling the world. He's reconciling man to himself through Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is it. That's the whole message. You want the secret wisdom of God? I just said it. You've got it now. And like I say, all of us go through hard times at different times in our lives. Sometimes it seems like it's a battle every day. Well, I can tell you truthfully, there's times where I feel like I'm being attacked spiritually nonstop. Where I've actually asked God, God, can I have 3 hours or 4 hours this afternoon where I'm not under attack? And he does it. Yeah, God's got you. He's not going to let you go. And he's going to provide. He's got you under his wing. You're in good hands. You are in good hands. This hidden wisdom, which all men must possess, you must have this hidden wisdom if they want to know God and if they want to live with God throughout all eternity. You have to have this special wisdom. It's the gospel, folks. It's Jesus Christ. It's him. Him crucified. Everything is boiled down to that. And you can say, yeah, but you know what? I got to go home. My house is this broke, that's broke. I don't... All these things. Locked in this morning. The air conditioning broke over here on the fellowship hall. Oh, great. Okay. Things happen, folks. Things happen. And guess what? They're going to continue to happen. They're going to continue. Our faith is walking with God. He's got us. Why would there be a reference to being hidden wisdom? Because the scripture says, for the rulers of this age don't know the wisdom of God. Now, there are some rulers who know the wisdom of God. It's a small percentage. But vast majority don't know this wisdom of God. They don't know God. They don't know the nature of God. They don't know the origin of life. And they even don't even know the destiny of life. It's terrible. They'll do everything. They'll fight putting off that death, like we all do. Realizing that the minute a believer dies, he's with God. Okay, Lord. And then how God speaks to us today, and he says, none of the rulers of this age, now Paul's writing, understood this. So think about when Paul writes this, is in the time of Christ. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why would they have crucified him? They didn't understand it. No idea. They didn't tie redemption with wisdom. Folks, we are the most blessed people in the world. We live on this side of the cross. We have it all before us. Lord, thank you. God, what you've done. They don't tie that together. If they had known the wisdom of God, they wouldn't have crucified him. They wouldn't have done it. So many rulers today would have crucified the Lord of glory. And that's been throughout history. So many. Wouldn't even give it a second thought. The world's wisdom is not even close to God's wisdom. The world's wisdom is nothing compared to the wisdom of God. It's miles and miles apart. Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. Jesus Christ is God. Period. Jesus Christ came to save man eternally. Now, the rulers of this age will try to, as we showed in the other scripture, to deceive. I'm driving down the 91 freeway, coming out of Riverside, coming back up here. Here's this huge sign. Huge. Jesus is not God. Now, this particular cult has been happening and starting to multiply around here in colleges. Jesus is not God. And I'm thinking, I'd like to take him and show him. You know, here's what the Word of God says. Here's what it says. Any religion, which is all religions except Christianity, deny Jesus divine, that he is fully God. They deny it. Jesus came to save man. And the rulers of the time of Jesus rejected him just as they do today. And the world stands guilty. The world stands guilty before God. The world is guilty of rejecting Jesus Christ, God's wisdom. I often think about it. No man could have ever thought up through the Old Testament, well, God himself is going to send his son, God, to the world to die. Nobody could have thought that up. No, you know, if I work harder, if I'm in church more, if I do this, I have this sacrifice, all this, then I can get my way. No. No. I think about this over and over. You know, when you think about this, I want us to really understand on this factor, very, very important. Because I don't know how everybody's relationship is with their father or your grandfather, father. God loves you the same as his only son, Jesus Christ. In fact, he loves you so much that he was willing to send his son down and die for you. That is love that is over my head. And I've looked at that over and over. God, you sent your son to die for me. And I kind of think at some point, God, do you love me more than your son? You ever doubt if God loves you? You better not now. Now. The world does stand guilty. And we have to understand, no one is righteous before God on his own merit. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. It's the book right before 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verses 9 through 20. I'm going to read that for you. Give you a minute. Here's Paul writing to the church in Rome. Chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No. Not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of the asp under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In the past, they ruin and misery. And the way of peace, they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For the work by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Jesus Christ says, believe in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life of God. We can only come to God through Jesus Christ, period. You may think, wow, you know, well, Billy Graham, man, Billy Graham was a sinner just like you and I. There is no difference there. But look at this. When you go back to verse 6 that we looked at, starting, it says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. That wisdom is what? The gospel, Jesus Christ. We have the wisdom of God. As believers, we have received that wisdom of God. We've received that. You have the wisdom of God now. And that is because the Holy Spirit came into you and revealed this to you. As believers, we believe that Jesus Christ died for us on that cross. And we're saved by the cross of Christ. That's it. It's a whole ballgame. Even today, so many reject the truth of God. Put up Matthew 13 for me, please. Jesus is speaking here, and he said, indeed, in their case, a prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. And that's Jesus saying, he's the only one that can heal them. Jesus is the only way into eternal life, into heaven. Jesus is it, period. There is no other way. They're hearing it, but they're not hearing it. It's like those old cartoons on Charlie Brown cartoons. When the parents would talk, wah, 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 and that's all they're hearing. Think about it. You remember that? You never knew what the parents were saying. Wah, 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 wah. And then that's what they're doing. Same principle. They're seeing and they don't see. They're hearing it, but they don't believe. This is important. And then the last verse we're looking at, folks, you better hang on to it. Highlight this one down with everything you got, mark it in your brains, whatever the case, because it says, but as it is written, that's why you're to study the word of God, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Oh my goodness. Think about that. But it is written. It is written. It is that hidden wisdom. Now Paul is referring back to also in the Old Testament. It was written. It was coming. The New Testament, it's explaining that. It is written. Folks, that is a promise from God to you. God says, you love me. You can't even imagine what I got prepared for you. Now, think about this. Man's natural mind can't even entertain what God has stored for believers. Think about, in this world, the most beautiful place you've ever seen and pictures, been to, gone to. That's what it's going to be like to heaven. No eye has ever seen the beauty that is going to come. Oh my goodness. What heaven's going to be like about that? Nothing we have ever seen will compare to that beauty of heaven in itself with God. And I think about that heaven being so, we've never seen anything like it that's that perfect. But I don't even think heaven's going to compare to when we see God. If you're standing next to me, I may bump you out of the way so I can grab hold of him and hang on to him. Excuse me for that. The beauty of God. The glory of God. You know, in the Transfiguration, James, Peter, and John got a glimpse of that glory. Just a glimpse. But Christ had that glory. Does Christ have glory of God now? Yeah. And what was the one scripture? Oh, we're co-heirs with God, with Jesus. And he says, the glory coming to you? Wow. That's going to be an amazing thing. I think seeing God. And here's what I think was, you know, sin entered this world and we don't see things right. The God of love, the God of mercy, and the God of forgiveness. And this God who gives us more grace than comparison, we're going to see him face to face, be with him for eternity. That's why Paul said, no matter what you're suffering, excuse me, it ain't going to compare. No matter what you've gone through, no matter the hardships you've had, it's not going to compare, folks. This is a moment that quick. The wind blows, it hits, and gone. That's us. We're a flower that blooms, and then what? A couple of days, boom, out. If I tried to describe heaven, God, I'm telling you right now, I will fall short. Because I can't even comprehend something that beautiful, something that perfect. God, heaven. Our minds can't do it. It's beyond our thinking. It says, no ear has heard. No ear has heard. When God speaks, he plants his word in my heart. And this I can understand. I truly can. Now, I have never, ever heard an audible from God. Like you hear me talking. But when he speaks, it's in my heart. I understand it. Without a doubt. He'll speak through his word most of the time. But he does speak to us during prayer and what have you. And he'll speak. It's planted there. It's there. And I think about the voice of God. It'll be the perfect voice. The absolute perfect. Now, we all know there's many great, great voices. Singing voices. Male and female. I mean, there are singers that just, you stand back and go, wow. You know, I think about my good friend when we'd go to men's retreats and we went to men's conferences and he'd be standing here and we'd be listening to teaching and then we'd go into singing and as he's here and I'm singing, he'd be over here going, because I'm not a singer, okay? I just don't have that talent. But I thought about that and you think, I was at a restaurant not too long ago, I can't remember, and the young man was, I don't know, early 20s. And the waiter or whatever, and I said, man, you got a voice for radio. You have a fantastic voice. And he goes, yeah, I've been told that. I said, wow, God's is perfect. God's is going to be. So we've not even heard perfection in the voice. There is no comparison to God's voice. And then it says, nor the heart of man imagined. That's why I say, whatever I can describe is going to fall way short, folks. It's way beyond whatever I'm telling you. We can't even conceive in our heart what it'll be like. I was trying to figure it out, and I just can't. You know, streets lined, paved with gold. Okay? You know, the gates of the new Jerusalem and all that are made of sapphires and rubies and all these different things, giant. And I go, we can get a kind of a picture, but it's going to fall short. When our hearts, when God tells us our hearts can't imagine, it's part of the problem is that our hearts are polluted by sin because we have that sinful nature. And thank goodness, when we're in heaven, we will never sin again. We'll never sin against God again. Boy, that's a time to celebrate and rejoice, folks. Knowing you'll never sin again. But I do believe we will have a heart overflowing with pure love. And when I say pure love, that is God's love. The word in the Greek, agape, is what is the word for love. God's love is called agape. And it's pure, it's sacrificial, it's selfless, it's unconditional love. You know, and we have relationships now, you know, husband and wife, they love each other. But if your wife or your husband don't love you, it's hard to love them. Or, you know, the friends, it's unconditional love. I just love you. A love that is freely given, that is without any expectation of return. How many of us would do that? Give love that we don't get, expect something in return. I just gave you a brief description of God's love, and I still fall short. Whatever I've described and what we'll see, what we'll hear, God's love, is so far short, it will overwhelm you, folks. It will truly overwhelm you. Because it says what God has prepared for those who love Him. The question is, folks, do you love God? Do you really love God? I'll encourage you, fall in love with God. Ask Him to draw you closer. And guess what? When He draws you closer, you may have to go through some things, folks. You may endure some tough times. But it's worth it. Just like Paul said, everything we go through won't compare. And I want us to understand that. Hand God over your heart. Just say, God, take my heart now. You want His heart and your heart in His hands. I can guarantee you that positively. And this verse is probably one of the great promises of God that it's just amazing. And it's for you. Each one of you personally. God is telling you this. God has prepared something so amazing for believers that no man could ever even comprehend it. It is beyond what a natural man can see, hear, or think. Way more. If you've never asked the Lord of glory into your heart, you never have. Here's your opportunity. Ask Him. Put it for me, Revelation 3:20 for me, please. Behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, do you hear His voice? And opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. It's the door of your heart. We have to understand that. And I know I went to church till I was in my 20s before I got saved. I never heard till then. And then I opened my heart up. Look at Romans 10:9-10. But if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Doesn't say possibly, maybe, if you work hard enough. It doesn't. It says you will be. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. What a glorious promise, folks. That's the promise. We got something coming. We can't even comprehend how good it is. Now, I like water. I like the beach. I'd love to be at the beach. And I go, that ain't nothing compared. Because remember, it talks about in Revelation, heaven, it's going to have the river of life flowing out. The river. Wow. Anyway, let's close in prayer. Father God, I want to praise you and I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time we've had to study your word. Lord, make known more of your wisdom and your knowledge, Lord. And Lord, I'm asking that you would remove the wisdom of the world from us. Remove that wisdom from the world and pour in your love, Lord. Lord, I know then we're going to have that pure love. But man, give us all we can get now that we can love just like you. I praise you and I thank you, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.